Global markets are firmly in the red today, and the all-share index didn't escape the trend. We saw that down 1.85%, closing at 66,836 index points. Industrials were down 2.1%. Financials also in the red to the tune of just over 2% as well, while resources declined by 1.7%. Being a risk-off day, the gold price is not exactly shooting the lights out, but is in positive territory. We see that trading at around $1,776 an ounce. Brent crude is on a slight downer, trading just below $66 a barrel. On the currency front, we see the rand having lost some ground, trading at 14.27 against the US dollar, 17.19 versus the euro, and 19.90 against the British pound. Well, to take us through some of the day's market developments, I'm joined on the line by Nissan Nair. He's a senior portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities. Thanks very much for joining us, Nissan. So it's looking like a continuation of yesterday's low ebb, but we're deeper in the red today. What's your reading of things?
Yeah, good evening, Nampo. It's been a strange week so far for me. There doesn't seem to be, any significant news flow that's giving rise to the big sell-off that we're seeing. On the commodity front, we've got that big U.S. infrastructure proposal that's been put forward, the $4 trillion number. That's still very much intact, and the iron ore prices now over $180, which I thought would have been supportive of the iron ore miners, the likes of Billiton, Anglo, Kumba, but they were all down today. So I'm not sure if it's just a case of, the jitters that people get in anticipation of May coming and, maybe just selling out some of the exposure before they go away, selling in late April instead of in early May. But the market movement has been rather strange. The rand still remains, I think, on a relative basis quite strong, so there's no big shift in terms of sentiment. It just could be, portfolios being de-risked.
So gold is doing what it's supposed to do on a day like this. It's firmer as market sentiment is slightly on edge. But do you think that it's had its heyday highs in terms of those 1900, 2000 levels that it reached last year?
Nampo, I must tell you, I'm a lot more positive on the gold price than maybe a lot of people are. And don't get me wrong, I'm by no stretch of the imagination a gold bull or anything like that. I just look at the volume of money that's being printed, and I'm still trying to get to understand what $4 trillion can buy you. But sure, it can buy you a lot of stuff. And what I understand that to mean is that the dollar itself. Because these funds are more than likely going to be printed or borrowed by the U.S. government, the dollar itself has to lose value, which means that everything else that is quoted in dollars has to increase if the dollar is going to lose value. So, I'm thinking that gold will be one of the beneficiaries of that devaluation of the dollar. You're seeing it in commodity prices at the moment. You've seen a recovery in the oil price as well, and that's going to translate to higher inflation. But very often a lot of this sort of analysis doesn't actually transpire, on the first day. It takes a while, for these things to reflect in markets. So I think we'll still see a much stronger gold price to answer your question.
Look, we can't possibly cover the very interesting topic about the US dollar devaluation in 10 minutes, but just in a minute, perhaps you can just explain why this concept of the US dollar devaluing, why it's so negative. And ultimately, how much does the US have in terms of debt? Is it, $27 trillion US dollars? That's crazy.
I think if you have a look at the graph of U.S. debt, over the last 100 years, what we're seeing right now is the highest increase year on year in U.S. debt levels. And essentially, I think it's being fueled by very low interest rates. The fact that interest rates have been low for so long is just encouraging the U.S. government to borrow more and more money because they bought themselves out of the financial crisis in 2008, and that's worked wonders. It didn't come with any inflation. And so long as there's no inflation, they can continue to borrow. Because in effect, if you think about it, central banks can argue that, the mandate of price stability is intact and therefore it makes sense to keep interest rates low. And, whereas on paper that looks very good, when inflation starts rearing its head as a result of a weaker dollar, which is, I think, inevitable, then the debt starts to become a little bit of an issue, because you can't borrow anymore at those cheap rates. You're going to have to increase rates and borrow at higher rates.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be tough. So it's going to be an interesting next 5 or 10 years, I think, for us. They're still around at the end of that.
Yeah,
in the market.
Nissan, I know you're not one for gossiping, but what's the word on the financial streets around the fallout between Absa CEO Daniel Minnelli and the board at Absa?
You know, I was hoping that there would be some gossip about it, actually, but Absa stated in their announcement today that there was a disagreement over the strategy and transformation objectives. I didn't think it was necessary to include that, in the sense announcement. They said there was just a disagreement between the board and the CEO, and the CEO wanted to go his own way. I think the market would have accepted that. The share price would have still fallen 4%, but that was always going to happen when a person of Daniel's caliber, leaves Absa. So I just think that, I think Absa is struggling to find an identity. And until they do that, it'll be hard for them to find the CEO.
My next point of discussion with you, which we'll have another time, is transformation in the financial services sector. But we don't have enough time. We'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Nissan, for your time. That was Nissan Nair. He's Senior Portfolio Manager at Sasfin Securities.